here's why I put her in Hebrews 11. Not because she was some really nice, civilized, prim and proper woman. No, but because she understood that when I offer forgiveness, she grabs a hold of it, and that's enough to change her whole life. She doesn't have to wait for the earth to move under my feet. She just grabbed it and moved. And God said, that's the kind of faith that's connected with works. That's the greatest kind of faith of all.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne will be looking at one of the characters found in the Bible's Great Hall of Faith, a person who knew what to do when God tossed her a life rope called forgiveness. It's a message entitled, Rahab, Serious About Forgiveness. Here now is Pastor Wayne.
Let me illustrate this to you, because some people, and I know many of my friends that have been given forgiveness by God, but not much changed. Others are given forgiveness and everything changes. And I watch and I see how God pulled this lady out of the Old Testament, Rahab the harlot, puts her not only in the genealogy, but over in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith and says, Rahab, teach the world what it means to have faith, that you got serious with forgiveness. And you used it not as something to reprieve or soothe your conscience, but you used it as a stairway to get out of where you were to where you're supposed to be. Let me give you this analogy. Let's say you slip off of a cliff and the precipice goes down 250 more feet and you're hanging by the edge of a ledge just by your fingernails and you're crying out, help! Now, a lady passes by, hears your cry for help. What do you need? I can send you down some water. I don't need water. Help! I can get you a Big Mac. I don't want a Big Mac. Help! I can send you down a television and DVD player. I don't want to be entertained. Just send me down a rope. So she gets there and gets a rope out of her trunk. She puts it around a tree and hangs the rope down next to you. You're just hanging on 250 feet below you. And a rope comes down next to you. Hoo-hoo! Now you have you, rope, second chance. What do? Do you start singing? Amazing rope, how sweet this looks. Oh, the rope of Jesus. No. Do you just start singing? It dropped from heaven to earth to show the way. No. You don't sing about it. You don't pray about it. What do? You grab that thing and you get serious about getting out of that predicament, right? Now listen very carefully. Forgiveness is a rope. Now you got to get serious about it. You grab that and you use it to ignite something in you to get out of where you are and where you need to be. Now you're going to grab it and you don't care about the blisters going to be on your hands. You don't care about the scrapes on your knees, the bruises and the lacerations, because you're going to get serious about this. And you will use forgiveness to get out of where you are, regardless of the cost. Would you write that in there? Regardless of the cost. Because Rahab knew she would lose everything otherwise. Let's read what takes place. Go. They burned the city with fire and all that was in it. However, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all she had, Joshua spared, and she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day. You see, sometimes we receive forgiveness, and it's sort of like a reprieve to our conscience. And the Lord is saying, no, it is not a Big Mac to where you are. It is not a DVD player, a bottle of water to just kind of keep you a little bit more comfortable where you are. No, it's a rope. Now, what are you going to do with it? Rahab grabbed it, and she got serious about it. It changed her life. Sometimes God brings forgiveness into our life. Forgiveness because we blew it with a marriage or blew it with this or blew it with that. And nothing yet changes. We just feel better about ourselves now. And the Lord is saying, no, Forgiveness is a rope, not a reprieve, so you can feel more comfortable. Rahab, tell them, show them. And he actually takes her from Joshua chapter 2 and 6, puts her in Hebrews 11 so that she can speak to us from then on about what it means to have a kind of faith that gets you out of where you are through the rope of forgiveness. Let me give you kind of a parallel illustration, though it might have some negative kinds of twists to it. But say you're in a job and the job is bad, going worse and worse. You're starting to do dope and too much drinking after work with some buddies, and it just becomes a habit. And you know after a while it's destroying your family and it's destroying your marriage, and you need to get out of it. But you don't have the courage to just say, I'm out of here. I've got to resign. I've got to quit. It's killing me. You just don't have the courage to do that. So you're hoping, waiting, finally, one day the boss just gets mad about some dumb thing and yells at you and screams at you. And you just say, that's it. If you're going to treat me like that, I'm out of here. And you use that to propel you, catapult you out to give you enough courage to say, I'm making a change. I don't care what the cost is. You can just fire me. You can do whatever you want. I'll lose money. I'll have to go find another job, but I'm out of here. Well, partly you know that you needed to get out, but you just needed something to say, all right, that's it, I'm out of here. And then you make the change. Forgiveness needs to be in a positive way like that, where when God brings forgiveness to your life, it needs to be enough to say, that's it, I'm done with this lifestyle. I'm done with this way of living. I'm done with it. I'm out of here. Why? Because God forgave me. I'm going to grab this rope. I'm going to get serious about it. I'm going to use this. I'm not going to let forgiveness come and just everything stays the same. If God forgives, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get myself out of where I'm at to where I should be. In a marriage, God gives forgiveness to you. You need to be able to say, that's it. I'm going to take care of this thing. I'm going to do whatever it needs to do. Call my wife, write a letter, ask for forgiveness, make some changes in my lifestyle. But now's the time to make that lifestyle, get serious about forgiveness, because he paid such a huge price for forgiveness. It is now a rope. And he says, now, what are you going to do with that? You're going to let it dangle and sing about it, praise about it, write songs about it, or you're going to grab it and whatever the cost, use that to get you from where you are to where you need to be. Then you begin to understand what forgiveness is all about. It gives you a way out, but you got to grab a hold of it. And would you write down a number 3? And then take your place in God's plan and move forward. Take your place in God's plan and move forward. You can't keep everything the same. And this is where faith comes in. Faith, when you use it or grab a hold of it, it's called works or action. Now, you're not saved by works. You're saved by this, forgiveness. But you've got to do something with it. And the book of James actually links two together, faith and works. That makes the greatest faith of all when you link it with action. And in fact, you know what James does? He reaches all the way into the Old Testament and reels in Rahab to give us an analogy so that we can understand what faith and works is all about. He says, Rahab did that. Let's read what James says. Go. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Yeah. So what he's saying is this. Here's why I put her in Hebrews 11. Not because she was some really nice, civilized, prim and proper woman. No, but because she understood that when I offer forgiveness, she grabs a hold of it, and that's enough to change her whole life. She doesn't have to wait for the earth to move under my feet. She just grabbed it and moved. And God said, that's the kind of faith that's connected with works. That's the greatest kind of faith of all. When we get serious about forgiveness. And you know that honors God because he paid such a price for forgiveness, the blood of his own son, that when we take forgiveness as just some reprieve or something to keep us comfortable where we are, that doesn't honor him. But when we grab hold of it and she leaves Jericho and that cultish practice and all that was a habit and lifestyle for all of her years makes this huge change. Not only does he put her in as now she's the great-great-grandmother of David the king, she's also now in the lineage of Christ himself. and he picks her up, inducts her into the hall of faith. Why? Because she understands when forgiveness is given, get serious about it. You got a new chance. Do something with it. That's her story. You say, but I thought faith was some mysterious thing. No, it's really basic. And God is saying, when you catch that kind of faith and I give you forgiveness and you say, Lord, I blew it. Please forgive me. I forgive you. Now, what are you going to do with it? Grab the rope. Get out. Whatever the cost, whatever you need to do. Then each time you're forgiven, you're moving into his image more and more with action. And you move right up to where God wants you to be. Forgiveness doesn't keep things same. Forgiveness is a rope to get to where you need to be. And the Lord says, that's what faith, legendary faith, is made up of. Now, in closing, some of you might say, but Wayne, you don't know where I am. You don't know. I don't think God can love me from the stuff that I've done. I mean, the stuff in Jericho is bad. That's what I did and more. You know, here's something that sounds unbelievable at first, but here it is. But it doesn't matter how much you've sinned. Now, don't take advantage or take this for granted and use it incorrectly. But I tell you, doesn't matter how much I've sinned, God does not love me any less. Do you know that? Doesn't matter how grossly I've sinned, God's love is not lessened. Well, you say, well, why is God kind of hard on sin? Because God doesn't see us as an angry policeman to penalize us when we sin. No, God sees us as a loving father. And he sees that here's the potential of your future. When I sin and tolerate sin, it eats away my future as that which pays the debt for sin. See, when I sin, I cause a spiritual debt because the wages of sin is death. So who's going to pay the debt? Sin demands its payment. So you know what it does? It eats away at the potential of your future as payment until you have nothing left. Then the devil who has come, he has come not only to steal, to kill, but finally to destroy. And that's why there's nothing left. And so the Father comes and says, don't. Repent of it and it'll stop the eating away. Confess it. Get it out. And now I can restore what the devil has eaten away and stolen from you. But if you let it go, it'll wipe out your whole future, the potential of your future. Then you have nothing left. You've lost it all. Well, does sin do that? Yes, but unresolved sin will do that. Because see, he paid a huge price of his blood so that he can restore our future. Now, some may not be there because we've kind of indelibly removed all of that, just destroyed it. But his blood will take what we have and make the best, optimize it. And he's paid a lot for that so that he can give us a new beginning. Take a hold of it, he's saying. But don't let it go underground and hide it. Rahab said, I ain't hiding it. I made a decision. I'm done with this. I'm hanging that scarlet cord out. I'm done. And she made a decision. God honored it and said, that's faith. That's faith. I've told an illustration before, but forgive me. Let me share it again because it's such a good story of how when you don't bring things to the surface, how the devil uses it to torture you and destroy your future. The story is told of two young kids, Tommy and Sally, that would love to spend summers with Grandpa because Grandpa had a huge farm, many acres, and they had horses there and ducks and chickens and turkeys, and they had just a great time. And they would do their chores, and they'd love to get up early and collect eggs from the chickens and take it to Grandma. And Tommy loved to take his slingshot and shoot pine cones and digger squirrels and gray squirrels, and he just had fun time. Well, one day he was out shooting a slingshot when down in the pond he saw all of Grandpa's ducks swimming around. So he thought, I'm just going to scare these things. And he took a big old rock and let one go. And he wanted it to splash and scare the ducks. But instead it came up short, came right down, hit Grandpa's favorite duck in the head, poo, and killed it. Quack, 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 poo. Oh, no, he thought. Oh, no. And he ran down as fast as he could. And their thing was just laying there. He tried to give it mouth-to-beak resuscitation. And it didn't work. Dead. Limp. filled with guilt and sorrow. He looked around, nobody was looking, and he quickly took that duck up by a tree and dug a hole and buried it. Put away his slingshot, kind of walked back to the farmhouse. And when he walked up the stairs, his sister Sally was sitting on the stairs, and she said to him as he went by, "I saw you." He said, "You saw what?" "I saw you kill Grandpa's favorite duck. You're roadkill now, dude." "Oh, no." He said, "Please don't say anything." She said, "I won't, just so long as you do exactly what I tell you." "No, no." "You better." "Okay, okay, okay." Well, sure enough, that night, as they were eating, coming to the end of the meal, Grandma said, "Sally, come in and help me wash dishes. And Tommy, you and Grandpa go sit in the living room." Just then, Sally said, "Oh, Grandma, Tommy loves to do dishes. Doesn't he, Tommy?" "Oh, yes, Grandma, I love suds on my hands. I love the feel of dish lotion. Oh, Grandma, I'd love to do it." And quickly, he jumps up and runs into the kitchen, starts washing dishes. So Grandma thinks, "Well, maybe he's a strange kid. I don't know." And so she let it go. After 20 minutes or so of washing dishes, she said, "Tommy, go on out to the living room. Sally, come on in here. We're going to cut up some pie and put some whipped cream on it, and we're going to serve Tommy and Grandpa." "Oh," said Sally, "you know what? Tommy hates dessert." "Oh, yes. And not only that, he's always given me his portion of dessert. Haven't you, Tommy?" "Yes, Grandma, I've done that since I was a baby. Yeah, please give mine to Sally." Well, this went on and on until he was sweeping her room, cleaning her stuff, doing her chores, everything. Till the fourth day, he couldn't handle it anymore. He was just sick and tired of this, and he ran up to Grandpa and fell down and said, "Grandpa, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't handle this anymore." And Grandpa said, "Whoa, what is going on? Grandpa, I can't handle it anymore." He said, "What is happening?" He said, "Grandpa, I'm so sorry. The other day I was shooting my slingshot, and I shot it. And I didn't mean to, but it went out and killed your favorite duck in the head. And I just buried it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And Grandpa said, "I know you did that. I saw you." "You did?" "Yes. And I knew you didn't mean to."
"I didn't. I didn't. I just wanted to scare him."
"Yes, I knew. And I knew your heart. And so when that happened, Grandpa forgave you at that very instant."
"You did?"
"That's right."
"Then why did you have me wait 4 days to tell me?"
And Grandpa smiled and said, "Because I just wanted to see how long you were going to let your sister run your life." You see, the best thing to do is to say, "Lord, the way I've been living is wrong," and confess that to Him who brings forgiveness. No, He doesn't demand sacrifice, as He offers forgiveness. But forgiveness is not a reprieve to your conscience. It's not as you're hanging there by your fingernails. It's not a Big Mac or just some water to keep you around for a while in that situation. No, if forgiveness doesn't allow you just to just stay in the same situation, it's a rope that you grab regardless of the cost and you get out. Get out from where you are to where you should be. And the Lord says, "Now you're understanding forgiveness and faith and works. Because I'll not force you. I'll not carry you out. I'll give you forgiveness now. What are you going to do with it?" And when you use it as that which will ignite a new beginning, then that's the kind of faith legendary heroes have. And that faith will not only be found in Hebrews 11, it'll be found right here in this place. We want to be a part of that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's do it. Let's stand together. Thanks, Woody. One lesson from Rahab the harlot that'll help us to understand faith and how to get serious about forgiveness. Let it ignite something in you. And all of heaven takes notice when that happens. All of heaven. Because our normal is to The usual is to take forgiveness, gives us kind of a reprieve from our conscience. And the Lord is saying, well, that'll do that, but more than that, I want it to be a rope to take you from where you are to where you need to be. Make it like that boss yelling at you, and that's enough, I'm out of here. Let forgiveness be in a positive way. God has forgiven me. That's enough. I'm out of here. Why? Because He forgave me. And when you catch that, then God says, that's the kind of faith that Hebrews 11 talks about. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus for forgiveness, please do today. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make in your life. That He died to offer us that kind of forgiveness. Just to keep us where we are with comfort till we die in sin? Oh, no, 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 no. It's not like a spiritual morphine shot. Forgiveness is a rope. You get serious about it, climb out, and then the Lord says, now you understand what faith is all about. It's a delivering faith. If you've never made the decision, please do. All you need to do is say, Lord, I accept your invitation for forgiveness. And the Lord will hear your heart's cry. Would you bow your heads with me? If that's you today and you say, Wayne, I need forgiveness and I want to open my heart to Christ, right now, would you raise a hand and the Lord will see that? Okay, yeah, He sees those. Yeah, all right. Yeah, you too. Yeah, yeah. Just make that bold step. Got to do something with the forgiveness that He offers. And He sees our hands and He sees our hearts. Yeah, okay, all right. Yep, anybody else? You say, I need that. I need that. All right. Okay. All right. You can put your hands down. You know, you might say, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but you know what? I think more like forgiveness is sort of a spiritual morphine shot. And I just kind of stay where I am. But God forgives. God forgives. Then I've misunderstood forgiveness and the price that was paid for it. I need to see it as a rope. And then I add action to it, faith and works combined together. And then the Lord says, that's the kind of faith Hebrews 11 is speaking about. That's the kind of faith that I purchased on the cross and forgiveness that now is offered to you. And you'd say, you know, Wayne, I want to do that. I need to get serious about that. When God says, I forgive you, now I got to do something with it. I got to grab the rope and get out of where I was and get to where I need to be. Lord, would you teach me how to do that? Teach me, Lord. If that's you, raise a hand and just let the Lord know, yeah, God, that's me. Yeah. You can put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer together. Pray it after me. Pray this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my sins. I don't hide it. I confess it. I turn to you. I grab the rope and I get serious about forgiveness. And now I say this so everyone hears, so I hear myself, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. The one who forgives my sins, and now I walk with Jesus in new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice. We now add action to faith, and we get serious about forgiveness, and we'll watch you change us, move us from where we are to where we should be as you transform us from glory to glory into your image by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ.
Just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Rahab, Serious About Forgiveness. Thank you for listening. Find my glory in the power of the Lord.
Hi, this is Wayne Cadero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.